AJ is standing outside Bridgeport Hospital right now.
Actually, I'm standing inside. It's too cold outside.
Yeah, okay.
I'm standing right in the lobby where it says, welcome to Bridgeport Hospital.
You have a 6:15 check-in time?
Yes, and I have to find a bathroom because I have to pee. the half a cup of black coffee and the 16 ounces of Gatorade I was allowed to have before 4:15 need to leave.
Okay. Well, if anyone would like to call in and wish him well right before he walks in for his hernia surgery. This is a pretty good surgery, too. It's this one's the biggest one you've had.
Yeah, this one involves two spots now, and this time that I'm getting cut. They're cutting me, Mick.
When you left here, I asked you if you were nervous. You said no. And then now on the phone right before we went on the air, you said you feel a little anxiety.
Just a little bit, only because I'm here now, you know?
Yeah.
You're still making jokes. You still sound like you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not like I'm like freaking out and nervous and like that. I'm just, you know, you're anxious. You're like, you're kind of like, actually, I want to get it over so I can eat. I'm freaking starving.
Right. When's the last time you had something to eat?
Last time I had something to eat was 1 o'clock yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you could eat up until 8.
Yeah, but then I made dinner, and as I was making dinner, my stomach started making, sort of acting like how it did on Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Not a good idea to put food in it right now. So I didn't.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah. So I said, screw it. So I just went to bed.
It's a real weird day because you're getting surgery, but the show is nominated for a Marconi Award, which is like the Oscar, for radio. And So I'll be in New York. You'll be in a hospital bed.
Exactly. Almost the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost the same thing. Different bright lights. I'll have one over me and a team of people. You'll have like lights on the stage and people look at you.
Well, if we get called up, we're nominated. So I feel like we won already. You know, if you're in that room, if you're in this business, you're making money doing what you love.
Yeah.
You won.
Definitely not a guarantee for everybody.
Mm.
Wait. There's money?
I'll get back to you on that one.
Wait a minute.
Beef Man.
Yes, good luck, AJ. Hopefully you have
a
quick recovery. You take care, man.
I appreciate that. Me too. Thank you.
Officer Joe.
AJ, if it doesn't work out, there's always sheet metal and Bondo, buddy. And
duct tape.
Yeah, really?
And we got some pumpkin squares coming for you, so best of luck today.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Officer Joe.
As fast as possible. I'm starving. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Be good.
Yeah, why didn't we think to go to Lugan Steel to just patch this gut of yours up?
Well, they offered. They offered. We said we're going to find look at this first, and if not, they're going to make an Iron Man suit.
Emma.
AJ, I wish you a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
You got this today, buddy.
Yeah. Well, actually, the surgeon's guy's got to lie there.
I got to find let me find some good bed music. Thank you, Emma.
Somebody get me a doctor.
How about the bed from Alien?
Alien bed, thank you. Yes.
What do you think?
I'm Ash.
Almost.
That thing comes out of my... I tell you, the other day, that's what it felt like. It felt like the aliens would come out of my stomach.
Sue and Naugatuck.
Hey, just want to wish AJ well. Godspeed. You'll do great.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, go get him.
Thank you.
I'll give it a shot.
Go get him.
Come get me.
Go get him.
Go get him.
Yeah, so what happens next? You go in, they give you the wristband, you do all the question stuff, and they take your clothes and your dignity and put a Johnny coat on you.
Thanks.
Exactly. Yep. And then they stick needles in your veins for IVs and stuff, and all that sorts of fun stuff.
Right.
Yep. They like my veins over here. They say I have rock star veins.
Yeah, nurses, they look at that stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, you're quite vascular. Thank you so much.
We'll be out to dinner. Jennifer will see someone's arms and say, oh, she has great veins. It's like, you sound like a drug dealer.
Or Dracula.
Mike and Derby.
AJ, good luck, buddy, and get back in the studio. We miss you already, buddy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Mm.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I should play this. This is... Here comes your hernia. It's dancing back in.
Just when you think you get rid of it. Ah, it's back.
Yeah, no. It's not welcome back. I'm pulling the welcome line, the welcome mat away.
Yeah. Are you going to wear that stupid jewel around your neck?
No, I got to take it off.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Did you wear that during any of your surgeries?
No, you're not allowed to wear anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Because since you've had that, you got that at the Durham Fair. It's never really been properly blessed or cleansed. We were talking to someone who does stones, and they were like, that's not how you do it. It's not, you got to get it. It's like, I don't think it's a good luck piece. It's not been great.
Well, I'm open to someone giving me a new one that's blessed.
Okay, good. I think that's when we get you out of here. We dip you in holy water.
Okay, cool.
We sage the crap out of you.
Right.
And then, get you some good stones.
Cool. I got two good stones. No one's blessed them lately.
I know you got to do like a full 24 hours of sunlight, like to cleanse a stone or something like that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I had
a buddy inherited a ring from one of his parents, but the marriage didn't end well. He's like, well, I want to keep the ring, but now I'm worried about, it didn't end well. And he did this whole thing. They built like this box and left it out in the sunlight for a couple days.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Well, he had a different kind of ring. He had suffering.
Yeah, I guess you got to be specific on what kind of ring you want.
What ring do you want? Yeah.
Bob and Bethel.
Yeah, AJ, just want to wish you the best, man. You're
Thank
a funny
you.
Guy. We wish you already.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, he's on the air right now.
Yeah.
So.
And still making jokes.
Right. Yeah, until they slap that thing over my face, tell me to count from 100 backwards.
Yeah, what time is that going to happen, around 8?
It's different. It all depends on who's ahead of me right now. So, it could be as early as 7.
Right. All right. Well, have a great surgery.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll contact everybody once I'm able to use my phone again.
Okay. Yep. And then we'll post it.
Yep.
Okay. Bye.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Bye.
You're walking in now?
Yes. I have to walk to the admission, I have to walk to the security gates first.
Okay. Let's hear you do your play-by-play. You're walking in.
I have to shut my phone because I've had to put it to the machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the airport.
Yeah. Go to a baseball
Same
game.
Deal.
Okay.
Same deal.
Good luck.
Good luck, man.
Right,
we're all counting on you.
Too.
All right.
Bye.
Mighty John the Record Guy, thank you so much for coming on. You want to give us your Stephen King ghost story before you leave?
Well, if you'd like, I did research for him in the 80s. And we were alone in his house, and he decided to go to get some beer, and he asked me if I'd like to go with him. And I said, no, I'll just stay here and watch TV. And when he left, I could hear footsteps above on the ceiling. And I thought, well, nobody's home. So I went to the spiral staircase that goes up to the second floor, the footsteps following me all the way, and I said, who's up there? And the footsteps stopped. So I went back downstairs thinking it was maybe one of his kids was home. And they started up again as soon as I get back down to the living room. So I go back up the stairs again. I am almost to the top of the stairs when I say to myself, hey, dummy, you're alone in Stephen King's house. Don't go any further. And so I yell, is anybody up there? And then I hear 3 doors slam, bam, bam, bam. I said, I don't care who's up there. I'm not going up there. So I go back downstairs, and then I see Stephen coming in, so I know it's not him playing a trick. And he gets in the house, and I said, I thought you said there was nobody home. Oh, no, there's nobody home. Well, somebody's walking around upstairs. I can hear them, and they're slamming doors. He said, oh, yeah, that's just General Miller.
What?
General
he
Weber,
just
I'm sorry,
waves
General
you
Weber.
Off. What?
And I said, who's General Weber? He said, oh, he was an old Civil War general. Hung himself in the house about 100 years ago.
Great.
I immediately went outside.
Yeah. You should have went outside when you heard the footsteps the second time.
You're right.
See, people like you die in horror movies. That's your problem. You got to go investigate first.
Mighty John, thanks for coming on. We're linked up.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
You too.
Chaz and AJ, Logan Steele, news.
All right, so why is Connecticut suing Facebook and Instagram? Let's ask the Attorney General, William Tong. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Chaz. How are you?
Good. AJ's at the hospital now.
Is it today?
Today is surgery day.
Today is surgery day. And how long does he have to stay there?
We're thinking one night. That's what happened last time, but they're cutting them in two different places, so maybe it's one night per cut. So I'm not sure.
That's a lot of information.
He's looking for chicken fingers when he wakes up. So. So he'll be sore for a while, but finally he's getting this done. Hopefully it's the last one. Hopefully they do a good job.
Well, hopefully he's listening, and we love you, AJ, and we know you're going to be stronger than ever, so heal up soon. We need you.
It's funny that he's out today because we're going to the Marconis. We're nominated for best personality. And we have the Attorney General on talking about suing Facebook, which he's always in Facebook jail. So this is like the greatest day of his life, but he's like in a hospital bed right now getting his gut cut open. So why are we suing Facebook and Instagram?
So, because we have a youth mental health crisis in America, and part of the reason is social media. You know, I have a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And if you have teenagers or young people in your family, you know it. You know it's a constant struggle to keep them off the devices. Oh, and by the way, I started yesterday's press conference by challenging the adults.
Put their phones
down?
Yeah, good. Nice.
Down. And like,
none of us can do it.
Could they not check their phone during my 20-minute press conference? Right, I challenged them to do it.
How did it go?
And I'm not sure everybody made it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because we're all addicted.
A lot of people are tweeting out during your press conference what you're saying. Then you know you get those. Some people are like, hey, what's going on in Facebook?
Right, and what it is that Facebook and kids laugh at us, Chaz, because they don't use Facebook. They use Instagram.
TikTok.
So Meta bought Instagram and TikTok, and we're focused on TikTok too. But yesterday was about Meta, Instagram, and Facebook. And what we've learned is that Meta knows that the constant alerts, you know, the buzzing, the pings, they call those haptics, the infinite scrolling on your phone, all of that is designed to get you hooked. And we know that they target young people and kids. We know that they know that they have tons of kids under 13 who should not be on their platform by law and are on their platform. It's like the big tobacco all over again.
I was going to say the same thing. This is big tobacco. Yeah. Now, I got to ask you. How deep are you going to go with this one? Are you going to just go as far as so they write a check, or are you going to dig deep? And
No.
I think you could uncover some stuff that's going to shock us all. We all know how bad they are with tracking us and
listening,
baiting us. First of all, we're called users. We're not called customers, so let's get that right. We're friggin' users here.
So they should be called pushers?
They're pushers.
Yeah.
And the amount of damage that they're doing... knowingly, I think the deeper you dig. So in the 60s, we talked about the tobacco company. We knew what was happening. We were just kind of like, whatever. It wasn't until like the late 80s where we were like, we got serious. And the files that they started digging up, the stuff that they knew way back then, the stuff they did to get that tobacco to taste better, to be more addictive. I think you're going to find all that the deeper you dig. I hope you go real deep and don't let these other attorney generals settle.
We've only just started to scratch the surface, but we know, for example, that the guy who developed the infinite scrolling feature called it behavioral cocaine.
Ha! Ha!
The way they described it was that the way he described it is it's like behavioral cocaine that you sprinkle all over the user interface.
Whoa.
And then someone probably was like, great idea.
You know, I don't
raise.
I don't know anything about this cocaine, but I know I've heard that when it was on album covers, people would lick it like off like their fingers. And yeah, just saying.
Legend.
Never saw
legends.
It, yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, good. I'm glad you're going to go deep in.
Also,
What's what result do you want? Lots of money and regulations, change of habits.
This one is get the kids off the platform. Stop targeting kids, especially 13 and under. Although I think we should have discussion about whether the age limit should really be 16, right, or 18. But 13 is way too young, and there are a lot of kids under 13. They're influencers under 13.
Yeah, they're making millions.
And then they've got to find a way programmatically. That's the word. They've got to find a way to tell the machine to stop doing what it's doing and sending such horrible content about self-harm that causes depression and worse. Now, what's scary to me is that they say, well, Mr. Attorney General, we're trying and we put all this money into, you know, fixing the algorithm and telling the machine to do something else and content moderation, they call it, but it's not working. And we're concerned that they're either unwilling or unable to control the algorithm.
Oh, it's unwilling.
And that gets into very dark
unwilling.
Yeah. Now, you're only going to be able to regulate them here in the United States, right? This isn't going to be something that affects them worldwide.
I mean, hopefully it leads the rest of the world in understanding how much damage it does. But I think the focus is on the U.S. because, A, we're here, but, B, this is where a lot of the action is.
Who's worse, Facebook, Instagram, both?
TikTok.
They're all in the same dark place.
TikTok's worse, but you can't really get into them, right, because they're in China? How much can you do?
No, why not? They have huge operations here in the U.S. This is their big market.
Yeah, but doesn't China also regulate their end where it's not for entertainment purposes for kids? It's actually educational?
I don't live in China, but the controls on social media and the internet are much stronger in China.
You mean I wouldn't be able to see my little clips of Curb Your Enthusiasm in China? It's like my favorite source of information from TikTok.
Put your phone down. Put your phone down before we start this interview and you can't do it.
I actually don't even think you can log on to Facebook in China. I don't think you're allowed to.
No, I don't think so.
I don't feel like I should be part of this conversation. I've been taking selfies this whole time. Yeah.
Here's the scary thing, though. We're starting to compare ourselves to China, saying, man, they got it right over there. Like, good luck when you're in prison for nothing.
Yeah, it's great.
We're upside down.
Yeah, that's the balance. Like, what makes sense in a free country and what is just, like, abuse from a company? And the tobacco thing, that was bad. It killed a lot of people, including my mother. Like, they just knowingly killed people to make money.
Yeah.
And like now these companies are basically doing the same. Like they're knowingly ruining people's mental health just so they can get clicks and likes.
And engagements. They call them engagements.
Yeah. Engagement.
Yeah.
But nobody does it. Here's the thing about this one. Like tobacco, where you could see people are smoking everywhere, right? Like in airports and restaurants and
talk shows.
And half the country smoked. But on this one, too, like nobody listening is saying, I don't know what he's talking about.
Right. That's right. You're right.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to take action.
The problem is we always wait till there's so much money behind them. It's so hard to make changes because they already have so much money and influence in so many places.
Yeah, because as a country, and this is a cultural thing, you know, we cheered them on, right? Big tech in the early 2000s juiced our economy. We had this huge gold rush, and here we are. And the Europeans, to be fair, I hate to say this, but they saw early on that big tech companies were harvesting information about us, and they were buying and selling information. And they said, hold on a second, isn't that our personal information and shouldn't we have control over our own personal information? But in the U.S., we said, go for it, guys, and treated us like users, treated people and our information like a commodity.
Attorney General Lane Tong is on talking about the suit. Connecticut just joined, was it 49, 40-something other states?
42
suing Facebook and Instagram. I love it. What are we going to do with Big Pharma? Like, we got to stop these pharmacy ads.
Yeah.
Like, these drug ads.
That was an innovation. That was an innovation by the Sacklers, believe it or not, years ago. They came up with that.
Aren't we only one of two countries that allows pharmaceutical commercials?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And it's no longer just like Cialis and Viagra. It's all manner of drugs.
It's everything. And this is what we want now. We just want instant gratification. We don't want to go on a diet. We want to just take a shot.
Ozempic.
Yeah. Not the name, any, but...
Nope, sorry. My bad.
I don't know what you mean.
Oops.
Yeah. What does Rich in the truck want? Do we know?
Everybody's noticing a lot of what the attorney generals had to say, just with the behavior they've seen.
Rich in East Haven.
Yeah. Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Yeah. So, yeah, with the TikTok thing, you know, obviously all the platforms are malicious and they're intended to, you know, get addicted. But the thing with the TikTok in China, so you guys are right about the 13 and under.
Let's start at the end. Start at the end. What's your thought?
Go ahead. Oh, so, all right. So the TikTok with the 13-year-olds in China, they limit their children to only educational content. So how we have our little young kids doing crazy challenges and the twerkings and this and that, they only allow their children to be able to get educational information from the.
I wish I could say I was a part of that. Like, but when young Chaz was young, like Barney the dinosaur was a great babysitter when I was working on the show. Just saying. Anyway.
It's tough.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, I'd be interested to see how far this goes. This is going to be not settled quickly, right? This goes real deep. This is lots of files gathered.
Yeah. I said this yesterday. This may be the most consequential lawsuit I file as attorney general.
Wow.
And buckle up. It's going to be a long fight. Facebook is very litigious. I've had a number of interactions with them.
Have you ever met Mark Zuckerberg?
I have not.
But there's something odd about him, no? Like, everyone says that. There's something off. It's like Android-like. Yeah.
Yeah, this whole thing with not just Facebook and Instagram, but the metaverse and, like, inviting us into his world and we're in a virtual reality, you know, world. It sounds a bit like a prison to me, frankly.
So, it's the Matrix.
Scared.
That's weird.
Yes, correct. It's the Matrix, and I don't want to be a battery.
On a lighter note, how is the Tong House preparing for Halloween? Do you guys hand out candy?
Do we hand out candy? We
did you just look to your wife? Did you just turn to your wife and ask?
No, they're still asleep.
Oh, okay.
You know, just we put out candy, but nobody shows up. I think my son got his costume in the mail. So we're getting there. We're on our way.
Okay. What's he going to do? We're having Monsters Ball Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, we got a band. We got a whole bunch of surprises.
My McRib costume.
Yes, you're dressing up as a McRib, right?
So, begin if you have not.
That's right. does Steph in Norwalk have something about Facebook? Is it the same thing?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just noticing.
Yeah, we're all, we're all like, hey.
We're all in it. Every day.
But then I say that, I'm like, go get them, Attorney General. But then pick up my phone. Oh, what's going on?
You just sort of live parts of your life a little bit distracted all of the time.
Well, there are some people who object to my actions, and they say, why can't people be more responsible and take responsibility for their own actions? And, you know, it's a free country and, you know, government stay out of it and just, you know, people have to take care of themselves. And that's just nonsense, right? These companies come after us, they target us and they target children. And the kids are defenseless. So this isn't really about liberty and personal responsibility. It's about predatory behavior like the cigarette companies that prey on us and our kids. And we have to do something to protect them.
Yeah. At the very least, dig in enough to find out what they're doing. Because that's going to be really... The stuff that we know from former employees is frightening. it's even worse when you get down into the basement of that place. It's going to be very interesting.
Yes, and they are, Phil said it, word users. Do we call them pushers? I think so, because they monetize addiction, and that's what they sell.
Right. All right, Attorney General, thank you. And if we don't talk
thank
to you,
Chaz,
have a nice Halloween. I'll pass that on to him. Thank you, sir.
Oh, boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News. Dumbass.
Ah, someone might win $1,000. Fill in the blank and win a tank of gas and get in the running to win $1,000 courtesy of Chevrolet of Milford. AJ is at the hospital now. He might be under the knife as we speak. Damian Speranza, comedian in studio. Good morning. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Stephen Norwalk, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I just wanted to send some good vibes to AJ and hope those chicken tenders are the best chicken tenders he ever got, man.
That's right. Here, here. Thank you, brother. All right. Priest apologizes for stomping on satanic blanks.
Priest apologizes for stomping on satanic blanks. Satanic. Wow. Doll?
No. Sorry.
I don't know. That's a weird one.
Thank you.
Who apologizes to a doll?
Yeah, right?
Jeff in East Haven.
Good morning, guys. I'm here.
Okay.
All right, let's try this. How about satanic props?
No.
Ah.
I like to try to be vague to cover a couple of different things.
Yeah.
It's good. Just kind of feeling around the room.
You're right about that.
Brian on the road. Priest.
Hello, how
apologizes.
You doing? Hi, Damien.
Hi.
You guys know each other?
I don't know. Do I?
Oh, you know me, buddy.
Oh, God, yeah. Unfortunately, I work with this gentleman.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be fun.
How do you know Damien?
Damien and I are, we're friends.
We're firefighters together.
Okay. We don't want to say where?
Pequannock Bridge in Groton, Connecticut. Yeah.
Okay. Don't say that on the radio.
Why? It's fine.
Why? No one's going to go there?
Yeah, we don't even
want to
go there.
No one's going to find it.
No one's listening to Damien anyway.
Do you have a guess or what? Just call in for this.
Firefighters can call radio stations. It's fine. It'd be weird if you won now. It'd be weird.
Free country.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you win, it's going to make it look like I rigged it. So get
it
wrong.
Maybe you won't win now. All right, go ahead.
I'm going to go with flags.
No, sorry.
Dummy.
Really? He told me that was the answer.
Yeah, why don't you sound dumb? Hang up now. Bye. Love you.
I like you fight with each other.
Miss you. Love you.
Kisses.
All right. Priest apologized for stomping on satanic blanks. Anthony in Hartford.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey.
So, since it's this time of the year, I'm going to go with Pumpkin.
Pumpkins is correct.
Yeah. Wow.
Whoa.
Did you Google that?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
What is a satanic pumpkin?
We'll get to that.
I'm
glad. Congratulations. You won a tank of gas, and you're in the running to win $1,000, courtesy of Chevrolet of Milford. The Reverend apologized for stomping on pumpkins that had been carved by children in his own village. He said he saw symbols of the satanic feast of Halloween. He then acted accordingly to his duty to be a father and protector of children and destroyed the pumpkins.
Thank you.
Wow. All right.
According to the local newspaper, the children carved the pumpkins as part of a Halloween event organized by the village. And some reportedly cried when they learned their work had been destroyed.
Oh, my God. This priest is punting pumpkins around.
That is the image exactly. Yeah.
But you could also get hurt. Like, if you're stomping down and the pumpkin's strong and then you slip, fall, and crack your head, that's hysterical.
Yeah, once the first few are stomped, those guts are slippery.
Mm. Other pumpkins that had been brought to the park by creative adults were also stomped on.
Oh, wow.
Can't believe nobody tackled them.
Business pays debt with more than 3 tons of coins. A welding company in Colorado tried to pay a $23,000 settlement in loose change. Now they might have to cover an extra $7,000 in legal fees because of the stunt.
I didn't know that you,
you
could be sued for that.
Right.
You paid.
It's money.
It's money.
Is it money from different, like,
different
countries?
Or
yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. It's all Canadian coins.
Loonies and toonies everywhere. Yeah,
exactly.
Here is lawyer Danielle Beam talking about her client receiving the payment in change.
At first, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And then we had to go through the logistics. Again, it's showing you pennies, quarters, dimes. In our pleadings, we called it the figurative middle finger. Just to acquire that many took effort. But then to open them all up and dump them into a container, that is not just trying to pay a bill.
Oh, so they mixed them all together.
Oh, I still paid.
It's paid. It's money.
Just take it.
Ah, people so sensitive now. Can't even pay your bills, for God's sake. You know there's trouble coming when you hear, meep, meep, meep. Yeah, I got that $87 I owe you. Meep, meep, meep.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So it's $23,500 in loose change.
Oh, my
gosh. $23,000 in loose change.
Imagine the person had to count that to make sure it was right.
Okay, because that's part of her point, I imagine, is there's a lot of time that goes into counting coins to get to that figure.
But they got those machines now, right? You could just dump it in.
But they don't give you the coins back. They spit out like a receipt that you get that you can then cash in.
Those are the machines at the stores. But
the coin stars.
Banks have machines you could dump stuff into and they count.
Yeah, but I doubt like the average person has... Yeah, but don't they also roll them at the banks? Because that's what she said, is they then opened everything and left it all loose.
I want to know what these people did to this welding company for the welding company to say, I got your payment.
Oh, we'll pay.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You're going to get your payment.
Oh, we'll pay, but we're going to dictate how we pay.
There's a big chunk of the story missing.
Right.
Freak Week.
Okay, what's the scariest movie of all time? 250 participants with heart rate monitors.
Ooh, that's a good way to gauge.
Watched hundreds of hours of movies. And the scores were broken into two categories. One determined the regular heart rate during the movie. And then one was the variant heart rate. So a scene that would surprise you and then spike the heart rate.
Okay.
Yep.
And then they combined these scores for a possible 100. As a comparison, Shrek, the animated fun cartoon, scored a 3 out of 100. So, like, almost zero scare. Like, zero, just almost a zero.
That scared 3 in Shrek.
Yeah.
Unless you have a fear of donkeys. And
There's that one. I think the only reason he's got the 3 is, remember when he made that face?
Yeah.
Like, Yeah.
I'm a monster. Sinister is the number one, the scariest movie. Sinister. Yep. 96 out of 100.
2012.
I could see that getting you going a little bit. I could see that.
All of the movies were
a scary movie.
Yeah, scary movie. That's the one with Ethan Hawke, right?
Where he's a true crime writer and he's investigating the murder of a family. It's a pretty creepy movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one I'm going to have to check out. I haven't seen that one.
It's a good one.
He's very good in it.
Doesn't the end get weird?
It does, but it's been a while since I saw it.
Okay.
But I just remember it's very intense and it's very creepy. And Ethan Hawke is really good. He's such a good actor.
Yeah. That's a good one. Host is number two. Remind me of what Host was. Which movie was that?
2020, it looks like it came out.
Yeah. Actually, I never saw that. There was a movie called The Host about a monster in Korea, but that's not it. So that one I can't comment on.
Ruth? Go ahead.
Yeah, Host was filmed during the pandemic. It was a Zoom seance.
Oh,
okay.
Never saw it. I don't think I will. I don't like seances.
I don't feel like sitting through another Zoom call.
No, 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 no.
It was kind of the pandemic horror movie.
Okay.
It was really good.
I mean,
really
we good. Were starved for new content for a while there, so I could see that.
Number three is yep. Skinamarink. Never heard of it.
What are these movies?
It's actually Skinamarink. It came out last year, I think, you know, and this is what threw the list off for me. It's a very low-tech movie set inside this house. And honestly, there was not a moment in the movie that scared me. So I don't know what scared the people in it. It's really crude. It's really primitive. It was co-produced by Shudder, you know, the streaming service. You can watch it on there. Yeah. And I did not get it at all.
I don't
it's
like the got name.
A, yeah. Threw the list off for me.
Pretty low rating on IMDb.
Well, the name
well.
Is terrible,
yeah.
too.
I tried to watch it. I got through about 10 minutes.
Oh, and you yeah. like the bad
movies?
Yeah.
No, no. That was unwatchable.
Super bad.
Mm-mm. It was. I agree. I zonked out watching it in a theater. I was just like, what is this?
Oof. Movie number four on the list of scariest movies of all time, Insidious.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that one's good.
That was a Conjuring spinoff, Patrick Wilson. I like that one. That was creepy.
And number five, The Conjuring.
Good movie. Yeah. Creepy.
That closet scene. The whole theater screamed like 8-year-old girls. No offense to 8-year-old
yes.
girls.
Yes. No, 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 no.
It builds, too, because it's like, oh, wow. And then there's the hidden room, and then you're falling, and then there's more, and it's like, what is happening?
Yeah. Nuts. All right, Joe, you want to do your list?
Yeah, because... I the problem with this thing that they did was I found there were too many recent movies. Like the number 10 was Talk to Me, which was just out a couple of months ago. I went for more old school stuff, and I had as my number one the chest buster scene in The Alien.
The All right, so this Alien. Would be the top five scariest movie
the
scenes.
The top five.
Got it.
You know, I was thinking, what really scared me? I mean, I see a million movies, and I remember when that happened without knowing what was going to happen. It was terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just sitting there eating spaghetti. They're laughing even,
they're
I think.
They're eating dinner, right. and they're laughing. And
it looked like he was coughing or something,
coughing.
Right? Like he was, like, choking?
He does. Yeah. Yeah.
And they put him on the table, and suddenly his chest opens up, and this creepy little monster comes out.
There's this. It looks like he's on fire with no flames. Like, he just can't get caught. And,
yeah,
and nobody
horrible.
Knows what's happening. It's just there's no explanation.
No, it's like, what the hell is going on?
If they made it today, they'd have some kind of music or anything. Like, it's just silent yeah. horror, mouths open, nobody knows what to do. It's so realistic.
I don't think I've ever been more unsettled or more scared at a movie.
Even when they spoofed it in Spaceballs, that was even disturbing.
Hello, my baby. Hello,
until
my
that comes in. Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
you're
that
right.
bothered
you're
me
right,
still.
Where does he get the little top hat? It doesn't make
sense. What's next?
The next one is the scene in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre where the young guy goes up to the house looking for gasoline. It's the first time you see the Leatherface serial killer. It's terrifying because it's on a sunny day. You're in Texas. You know, the crickets are chirping. And suddenly this guy steps out of the closet and kills this young man with a sledgehammer. Horrifying.
It's so swift and comfortable
so
for him,
swift.
Too. Like, you could tell he's done it before.
Yeah,
and
easy.
Just, yep.
Just light work.
The scene I like a lot in that movie is when, you know, the others go off and it's dark and the person with the wheelchair's sitting there like, I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want? Well, you should go in the dark and let's go looking for them. I'm going to push you in the wheelchair and let's go into the darkness with the wheelchair. And, you know, the second that chainsaw started, that person pushing the wheelchair was like,
I'm out.
See ya.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Slowing me down, man.
that noise of that chainsaw still gets... I mean, even at like the haunted trails, every time there's a chainsaw, you just see people running the minute they hear it.
Yeah.
It's just
they
one
know
of those,
it's not good.
Yeah, one of those noises.
I think sound has a real impact on these,
totally.
You know, especially when it sounds
totally.
Realistic. But Joe, you're right. Like, the sound, I can still hear it right now. The hammer, when it meets his face for the first time.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so...
It's like a thump.
Because it's not like one of those, like, oh, I've heard that in other movies. It's not a reused sound. Like, they did something. They hit, like, a chicken breast or something. Yeah. Like, it's just like an empty thud. And you're like, you heard that person's life leave their body.
Absolutely. It's horrifying.
We're going to ask our sound effect guy if we can recreate that sound. All right, so we have Alien, chest busting,
mm-hmm.
Texas Chainsaw, face busting. What's next?
The third one I have is a scene from Psycho. It's not the shower scene. To me, the most frightening scene in the movie is when the insurance inspector, played by Martin Balsam, goes up the stairs and is killed at the top of the staircase.
We were just talking about this the other day. I couldn't remember how many people were killed in Psycho. All I remember is the shower scene.
You see two people killed. Janet Leigh gets killed in the shower. Then Martin Balsam is hired by her sister to find out what happened. And he goes up the stairs, and suddenly the mother runs out of her bedroom and just slashes him to death, and he falls down the stairs.
Oh.
Awful.
All right, next.
The last scene in Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Donald Sutherland, where you suddenly find out he has been transformed into an alien. And he makes this horrible face, points his finger at a woman who is still a human being. She hasn't been changed yet, and makes this horrendous sound.
End of the movie.
Yeah.
End of the movie.
That movie scarred me. That movie freaking scarred me. When people were coming out of plants, and then they were just real people.
Yes, like, the copies of people.
It's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one that starts ending. With everybody smiling, and then all of a sudden it's, nope, this is not what I thought it was.
Yeah. So you had the alien popping out of the stomach. You had the Texas Chainsaw Massacre face getting bashed in. You had Psycho, the private investigator, getting slashed and then thrown down the stairs. And then you had Invasion of the Body Snatchers. What's number five?
Number five had two of the biggest screams I've ever heard. I worked in a movie theater when it was being shown. It was the two moments in Jaws, the head popping out of the bottom of the boat, and then when Roy Scheider is feeding Chum and the shark comes right up to him.
That one happens in broad daylight,
loudest screams I've ever heard in a theater. And I worked every show, and every night, like clockwork, they screamed in those two moments.
Joe, thank you so much. Joe Myers has a really cool podcast called Now a Major Motion Picture on Spotify and wherever you find cool podcasts. Thank you, Joe. Okay, guess who has the rattiest city in the country? One of the rattiest cities in the country is in Connecticut. Number 17, Hartford. Congratulations.
You did it.
You did it. Chicago's number one, L.A. number two, New York number three, and right there, number 17, Hartford, Connecticut, one of the rattiest cities in the country.
Something to be proud of.
Yeah, more on that later. We can't just do that and move on. And
not address it.
We'll be taking a deep dive and going there and looking for rats and interviewing rats and more to come on Hartford and its rat city. AJ is out probably on an operating table right now, so we wish him nothing but the best.
Shout out, AJ.
Shout out, AJ. We're talking to the tribe here on what scary movie scene effed you up. Bill in East Haven.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, the scene where the sister loses her head in Hereditary.
I don't know if
we're familiar. Oh, yeah, that whole movie is really well made, and it makes you feel uncomfortable the whole way through.
It comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, for me, the scariest part was after it happened, and it just holds on his face because he's sitting there, and he knows what happened, and he's afraid to turn around and look and see because he knows what he's going to see.
Oh. Doesn't want to make it real.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there in this incredible, horrible moment. And they build this tension where he's like racing to try to save her, and you hear her breathing, you know, because she's struggling, and he's trying to save her. And the second it happens, you don't hear the breathing anymore. So everybody knows, and you think, We're just going to leave it on this horrible moment. And then all of a sudden, there's just like this cut to the head in the road. And you're like, oh, I didn't need it. I didn't need it.
There's always so much excitement in his voice when he's talking about these scenes. It's kind of crazy.
I like horror movies. It's so... Listen.
Like he sounds happy and
so
cheery.
So jovial about the whole thing.
It's a well-made movie.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, and then he just parks the car at the house and goes inside, right?
That's right. Which makes it even creepier.
Yeah. That's one of those movies that I don't think I ever want to see again. Once was enough.
Hey, thank you, Bill.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. What was the other movie that director made that's really, really good?
He did a few. I can't remember his name now.
That's a really good
Midsommar?
Movie.
Midsommar?
Midsommar, I think, is one of them.
Yeah. That one's not as good. Like, if you're going to watch a creepy movie this weekend and you haven't seen Hereditary, it's a good movie to watch.
Man, I think I like Midsommar more.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Nah, it was weird to me. The end was weird. It's like, man, really? It was a long way to go just to get to this point. It felt like it was a long journey that didn't need to be long.
Well, it's tough. I enjoyed that one.
It's tough, too, with scary movies because they're scary and then there's just creepy or like The Hills has Eyes. That's like a really messed up movie, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily scary. It's just more creepy.
Right. You feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're uncomfortable the whole time watching that movie.
Josh and Shelton.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey.
So, nothing's ever creeped me out because I'm horror obsessed. But my niece, I like to torture because I am covered in horror tattoos. I have two full sleeves, and they're all black and white. So she grew up coloring in my tattoos. So we would always watch horror movies together.
Like literally with tattoo ink or marker ink, or what are we talking about?
So I have actual full tattoos of Chucky, Leatherface, Michael Myers, Freddy, Jason. Baby from House of a Thousand Corpses.
Wow.
I have Edgar Allan Poe's Raven, One-Eyed Willy skull from the Goonies. I'm literally covered.
It's a lot of money.
You
got
to send some pictures to us. We'd love to post them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys can see them on Friday. I'm gonna come with you guys, but I'm on the call.
Oh, great. Awesome.
So we were watching Annabelle, and she got freaked out because my mom had the doll. So I put one in the hallway, and because she used to color my tattoos, we had special markers. So in that scene, Annabelle rolls the crayon down the hallway, and she starts freaking out because I was like, come play with me. And she's like, hello? And she sees the doll sitting in the hallway.
How old is your niece?
She had the biggest fear of dolls for like 3-4 weeks.
Thanks to you.
Jim, yeah, right. Why?
How old was she?
Uncle Josh.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, how old was she when you did this?
6 years old.
Oh, you're a terrible person. You're a terrible person.
So when she would be mean, I'd be like, well, you know, I know where the Warrens live because we grew up right down the street from them. And I knew people that knew where they lived. So she got in trouble in school for getting picked on. And the girl that picked on her, she looks at her dead in her face and goes, my uncle knows Annabelle and the Warrens. Say goodbye to your parents because I'm going to make sure he sticks Annabelle on you.
Wow.
Well.
So I got an earful for that one, too.
Oh, yeah. All right.
As you should.
Yeah, you get written up and, yeah, you're talking to counselors and, yeah. Well, that's creepy. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, have a nice day.
Hey, we'll see you Friday.
Yep.
Yeah, that would scare me.
6 years old? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd hate my uncle.
Say goodbye to your parents. What? Sean and Seymour.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
I'd say that movie Darkness Falls. It was a 2003 film.
Like having a hard time hearing you. Are you talking into the mouthpiece?
Darkness Falls? I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Darkness Falls is a 2003 film.
Okay, and what happens?
Based on two events in a fishing town in Australia. They it was inspired by that. But there's a scene in the beginning where the mother gets killed by this vengeful spirit, and the little kid, her son, is like sitting in the bathroom with the light on, and the thing is like over the door, over the doorway in the bathroom. It's just really creepy. He's making all these weird noises and shit. It was just
and
very,
stuff,
very
yeah,
creepy.
Stuff.
So.
Thank you, Sean.
Hello.
Hey. Thank you, Sean. Scary movie scene that screwed you up. Todd in Bethany.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, listen, so this is nothing like what you guys are talking about at all, but it kind of always stuck out of my head was the original Halloween. When I was watching that, I remember when they opened the closet door and the guy swung out upside down, like slit his throat. That's something that always kind of stuck with me. I don't know. And nothing is gory or anything, but it was, put it this way. It was like, whoa, you know, when it happened.
Yeah.
But the other thing that, Phil already shot me down on was, the scariest, well, you know, come on, right? So the scariest movie that I ever saw, and maybe it was the way that it was filmed, was, the original Blair Witch, because I kind of felt like, you're in the woods with the kids. You know, they would have filmed it on an iPhone today. They probably filmed it on a camcorder for like $100,000. But that movie, to me, was one of the scariest movies because I really felt like I was with them in the woods.
Yeah, so, I agree.
That one never, ever bothered me. It annoyed me.
Thanks, Phil.
The end bothered me, but through the whole thing, like they had me.
End.
Like I knew it wasn't real. But they had this, you know, urban legend that it was like, you know, footage that was found. And like, I enjoyed all of it. And then I got to the end. I'm like, really?
I think what happened for me is like the lead, like the viral marketing. We know what that term is now. It didn't exist then. So the lead up to the movie being released, I was so sucked into it. They created a whole website, which is still like a novel thing at the time. And like, it felt like this real thing that all of a sudden everybody was captivated by. And I think it's partially my fault. Like, my expectations were way too high.
Yeah.
I think you're disappointed that nobody got decapitated.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think
happened.
There's no smile on his voice.
Thanks, Damien. I appreciate you recognizing that.
Hey, Todd.
You know, and the guy's whacking, going around the side of the tent.
You're going to murder Todd.
I don't know. It just freaked me out. All right, man.
Todd, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
Brad Weissman's on the phone, author and journalist and author of Horror Unmasked. It's the history of terror, correct?
That is correct.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We were just talking about like movie scenes, like scary movie scenes that effed us up.
Yeah.
Is there one that sticks out to you?
Oh, gee. Boy, there is a Vincent Price movie from the early 60s called The Tomb of Ligeia, which is very obscure. Roger Corman directed it, and there's a scene where his dead wife comes back from the grave and comes after him. And that's pretty scary. I know that one.
Yeah. The Pit and the Pendulum is a creepy one. Like right at the end there, when you know, wow, you're in here for, you're just going to die a slow death.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and that last shot of her eyes, just crazy.
Right. And then, the first time I ever saw a severed head as a kid was, House on Haunted Hill. I think that was Vincent Price too, right?
And it was, that is correct.
Yeah, and there was this, they had to get through the night or whatever, and they opened the door. It's like one of these black and white movies, and it's really like Vincent Price is just the creepiest guy. When he was in a movie, you knew it was going to be a scary movie. And like, the door opens, and I just saw this like severed head. And it was the first time I saw a head disconnected from a body.
So that stuck
still
with
freaked me out.
I'm good. Like,
nope,
thank you.
Good.
It's amazing the stuff that sticks with you from when you're a kid.
I
still get, I was telling you, Pet Sematary, the original, the scene where the little boy that's come back from the dead is hiding under the bed.
And he's got like the scalpel or something?
He slices the Achilles tendon or whatever the heck it's called on the grandpa and then kills him. I would get nightmares about that movie, go to wake my mom up, but I would do it from a distance so I could reach and not put my feet near the end of the bed.
Oh, wow.
Because I was afraid something would get me underneath it.
Yeah, there was one movie that freaked me out so bad, I would run and jump onto my bed so my legs didn't get close to underneath the bed.
Yep.
By the way, congratulations on this book, man. This is a really cool book for horror fans.
Thank you.
Horror Unmasked. And you go through the whole history of it. Like, what do you think the first horror movie was that really made an impact where people thought, oh, this is a genre that, you know, we should make more movies like this?
I think the first one that really made a difference was The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, which was made in 1920. There were a little short mini horror films before that in the silent era. But then in 1920, when they made Caligari, that was the first one to really scare people and to really get people thinking, hey, yeah, we can make money at this. This is good.
At some point, like when horror movies were released back in the day, I'm guessing like religious groups would come out and protest these movies because a lot of them are, you know, you have to incorporate religion into it.
Yeah. In England, they had an interesting thing. They put together a list. This was in the 60s and 70s of horror films that they banned, and they were called video nasties. And what happened was people got that list of films and then found them on their own. So actually they helped all the horror movies by designating them as awful.
Would you be able to name a few horror movies that you feel like really changed things, brought things up to another level, like four or five movies through the history of time?
Well, I think Caligari, of course, and moving on, I think the Frankenstein, the original Frankenstein.
Wow, yeah.
Is a huge, huge game changer. It sparked all those Universal horror movies. Stuff like even Jaws. You think of Jaws as being kind of an adventure movie, but it is kind of a horror movie. There's a monster, and he's after people, and nobody believes that he really exists, and they go out and get him.
What about Silence of the Lambs?
Silence of the Lambs, great film. It really legitimized horror. It was the first horror movie to win the Best Picture Oscar.
Right. What made that so scary to me is that these monsters could be real, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Very much so.
So how do you feel about modern? I mean, somebody that's so in-depth with the history of horror movies and stuff like that, do you feel like most of the horror movies that come out now are just more gore than they are horror, or do you feel like there's still some good ones that come out?
It's interesting because Boris Karloff once said that horror was showing somebody a bucket of guts, but the terror was something that inspired fear in the viewer. So he wanted to get away from the goriness. And I think there's some gratuitous goriness, but actually I think the modern horror films are pretty circumspect when it comes to that. I don't see a lot of really unbearable imagery in the horror films that I reviewed from the past 10 years or so. In fact, there's a new movement called post-horror, in which films are filmed like adult dramas, very serious with complex characters, with horror elements in it. So it's kind of like horror that doesn't want to be called horror. That's an interesting development.
Yeah, that's interesting, the terror and the horror differences, because it is real. The horror is, you know, gore, and the terror is really, you got to work that. You got to write that correctly.
I always saw that as sort of like awards chasing, because horror, like comedy movies, has been ignored for a very long time. And right. I think if they're just like, no, it's actually a drama, but there's just elements that are horror-like.
Yeah, this combination of, Beauty and the Beast, like there's a monster and there's a beautiful girl. This has been like since the beginning of time.
Definitely.
Right. And then if you look at The Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro's movie, which won big at the Oscars, that's basically the creature from the Black Lagoon, only he's more like the protagonist instead of the monster.
By the way, The Creature from the Black Lagoon is a movie that freaked me out when I was a kid. Like, if you see that thing, it looks real. And the scenes underwater when it's like in the seaweeds and stuff, it's like, I did not go into a pond after that for like decades. I don't think I've ever been in a pond since I've seen that movie, actually. Now I'm not afraid of the creature of the Black Lagoon, but more like viruses, whatever's floating around in there.
What's living in my skin cells now? I don't know.
No, that thing is, that's, you know what that movie is? I don't know which one came out first, but that's King Kong underwater.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But that's freaky. Sure. That movie's freaky. That thing is freaky.
You got to see Chaz's face right now as he's saying this.
That's a scary movie. That's a monster. That's a monster. And it's in the water. Like, you don't know what it's in the Black Lagoon, so you can't even look down and see it.
You can't even see
it. Can't even see it. I could talk to you all friggin' day. I want to have you back to talk about this. And by the way, awesome job on the book. Like, you did this just perfectly. Great amount of information, not too much. It's all like boiled down to like the stuff you really want to know. It's laid out with pictures. It's just a great coffee book table. It's an easy read. And if you're into horror movies, it's a great book. We're linked up on the radio station website, Horror Unmasked. Thank you, Brad.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.